Well, it's good to be with you this morning, and thank you for this opportunity to come and share. When Jim came down from the platform and came over and went to whisper something in my ear, I thought he was going to say to me, "God bless you, Gordon. Hope everything goes well." But he's very practical. He says, "Use the water on the right-hand side." So thanks, Jim. I really appreciate that. That's what you call a very practical mind and very well organised. But I would just like to say, before we turn to God's word, I do say thank you to the elders and to the leaders here for the way that you've opened up your church to us to have the youth meetings. I know Satan, some of the youth are here. We're having a brilliant time. Honestly, they're absolutely brilliant. The kids are amazing. Kids are a lot taller than me, but they're young. And we're having a wonderful time with them. They're a blessing to work with, and we really appreciate you opening up your place to us. And we've arranged a weekend to get away, take them away for the weekend. And they don't know this yet, but I was hoping to take them to Newton Stewart, a faith mission place, which is a bit tired and needs done up. But I thought, well, the price will be right, so we'll go there. But anyway, God is good. I got a phone call from a lady who runs a place we know, her sister-in-law. They go to a brethren place, and they've got a lovely centre, and they've invited us up, and I'm going up to see them on Friday to see this place and see if we'll be able to get up there. Isn't that wonderful? That God has provided a place. Hopefully we'll go up and see them on Friday and chat over things and to take the young people there, and it'll be a lot better, it'll be a lot warmer and a lot cosier. And all this sort of stuff, and it's actually in, where's my wife, Janice, Cooper, it's in Cooper, so praise the Lord. So please pray for that as we go and see it on Friday, because we want to take the kids away with everything off free charge for them. But I'm excited about that, because God is looking after us. But not only that, every month we see just God touching the hearts of young folk and God ministering into their souls. And we are praying that God will call them into the Lord's work. It's great to be in churches, but just to go further and deeper with God. And that's our prayer for the young people. Also as well, for the rallies we have on a Friday night, as I say, we thank you for your help, for the people that set up, the people that help in the kitchen and everything. We really appreciate it. And it's lovely for us to hear Christians saying how they're really encouraged by the meetings, coming along, and once a month on a Friday. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, shame on you, because it means you've not been on a Friday. So it'd be lovely to see you the first Friday of the month, 7:30 to 8:30, and then there's a wee cup of tea and some goodies. It'd be lovely to see you to come along on a Friday night, the first Friday of the month. And then also there's a prayer meeting once a month as well. Speak to Hill Jones, everybody knows Hill. He organises it. Speak to Hill. We meet once a month, the first Monday of the month. It'd be lovely to see. There's quite a few come along. There's a great prayer meeting, and it'd be lovely if you'd come along and just help us in the work of God for the glory of God, because that's what we want to see in the work of the Faith Mission. Just God exalted and God glorified. Janice and I were up in Inverness on Friday night for a meeting on the Saturday, a man who's leaving, and this lady came up to Sheena and gave us a big cuddle and chatted to us, and it was wonderful. Sheena, her husband, is a believer, and her brother-in-law and sister-in-law, they're believers, and Sheena was a lovely churchy lady. Her husband was saved, but she was churchy at church, at the meetings, but wasn't converted, never knew Christ. And what happened is she knew about Christ, but never knew Christ. And anyway, we had a mission in a place called Kiltarity, just outside of Inverness. And anyway, we were preaching, and there was quite a few folk there, and just walked outside of preaching, outside the big tent. And she came out with her husband, and she started crying. And it was wonderful, absolutely brilliant. She just said, "I want to give my life to Christ." just laid hands on and prayed with her, and she accepted Christ. It was just amazing how it just all happened. And here was this lady who had been at church for years, and here in this big tent, she just came and the Holy Spirit touched her heart. It was nothing to do with Faith Mission, nothing to do with a preacher. It was the Holy Spirit came and touched her heart, and just standing outside the tent, and she gave her life to Christ. And it was wonderful speaking to her and just chatting to her, and she's going on well with God. Now, that really excited me to see her and how she's going on with God. And I hope that excites your heart as well, about hearing about people coming and giving their life to Christ. And there's a young fellow who comes and helps with the worship and the youth meeting in the Saturday nights. And he gave his life to Christ not long ago, and now he's up playing the guitar and helping us with the worship. And it's great. And that is our desire, that people will come and experience Christ and come and get to know the Lord and really come and surrender their life to Christ. And also as well, that Christians would really come and really go deeper with God. Where Janice is doing most of the organising at the Edinburgh Convention. It's definitely not me. And I'd really, once we get the literature, we'll give you it. It's a great convention, a brilliant convention. We'll give you all the paperwork, we'll get it for the church, and it'd be worth your welcoming through a day or two, or even the whole lot. But I remember I met a wee woman in Falkirk, and she came to Edinburgh Convention just broken, spiritually dry, and just struggling. And she came to the convention and she really met with God, and the difference in her soul is amazing. And that's our longing, that's our desire, that we'll see people coming and tasting and seeing that God is good, giving their life to Christ. But not only that, we'll see Christians putting first things first in their life and getting right with God and walking with Him. So we thank you for praying for us. Please continue to pray for us, that we'll continue to know the help and the blessing of God that can only come from above. So before we turn to God's word, let's just have a wee word of prayer. Father, we want to thank you and praise you that you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We want to thank you that you're the one who knows every single one of us in here this morning. And we pray, Lord God, that you would help us to look to you, the one who loved us, the one who sent his Son into this world to die for us upon the cross, so that we may experience forgiveness of sins. And we do pray, Father, that there be anyone amongst us who's never tasted and seen that the Lord is good. We pray that even today they'll come and give their life to Christ. And Father, you know your children, you know the ones who believe. We do pray, Lord, Heavenly Father, if we are disjointed, if we are spiritually dry, we pray, Lord, come and refresh us. Come and refresh us as we look to your word. May you speak into our hearts. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for the way you love us. We thank you even for all the promises that Jim was reminding us of this morning. And yet all your promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. So we pray whatever we need to hear this morning, may the Holy Spirit speak into our lives and make us different as we leave this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. In Thessalonians, the first book of Thessalonians, it is amazing how Paul and Silas and Timothy were there, and actually God really used them. They experienced a real tough time. The religious people get the men who, as it were, stood in the street corners and came along and caused trouble in their meetings. But people get saved. People came and gave their life to God. And there were really a massive change in them. And it was just wonderful how God really worked in a mighty way. And their lives were completely different. And later on, Paul sent Timothy back to see how they're doing and hear how they're getting on. And they were really doing amazing. Their life was so different. Their behaviour was so different. Their attitude was so different. So much so that people were talking about them. So Paul writes this letter to encourage them and to build them up in their faith. And in chapter 4, as Jim read to us this morning, it's wonderful how the title in the NIV says, living to please God. Isn't that wonderful? Living to please God. And wouldn't that be great if that was what could be written in your headstone? He lived to please God. She lived to please God. I remember there was when I was a chef in Oban, there was a lassie we had working in the restaurant, and she only worked when the boss came. When the boss came about, she would work. When he wasn't about, she was a bit slack. You can't have that in the kitchen. I had to say, my boss, you either get rid of her or I'm off, because she's rubbish in the kitchen. Excuse the way he just explained it, but she was, and you can't have that. You need to work. And she just works when you're here. And when you're not here, it's like, try to encourage her to work. We've no good time for that. She either goes or I'm off. And anyway, she moved to another restaurant. But there's some people like that in life. At church, they look so sweet and beautiful. And there's everything, is all squeaky, clean in their life. But during the week, their life is a shambles and a disaster. And wouldn't it be great if God had to touch your hearts today through the power of the Holy Spirit? And I believe that can happen, that God can touch our hearts today through the power of the Holy Spirit, that we have a different desire in our soul to live for Him. That we have a longing to live for the glory of God. My sister, before we turn to this, my sister became a Christian. And she struggled to tell people about Jesus. She struggled to tell people she was a Christian. She struggled in her walk with God. And then she went to Wesley Baptist Church to a meeting. And the preacher made an appeal. And she stood up to surrender her all to God. To surrender her whole life to God. And since then, she has never looked back. She's never looked back. I says, Mary, what do you think the difference was? She says, I don't care who I tell now. She says, I want to tell everybody that I'm a Christian. And I don't hide it anymore. And wouldn't it be wonderful in our life this morning that our standards were so high biblically, well, as even in Thessalonians, people were talking about them. You can read it in chapter 1. They were talking about them because their life was so different, because they were living for God. Their life was so different because they were living for God. And in verse 1 and 2 in chapter 4, it says, Finally, brothers, we instruct you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more, for you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. And here is Paul encouraging them to have their standards rooted and grounded in God. Finally, brothers, we instruct you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. And here is Paul. He came and he gave them great teaching, great doctrine, great understanding of the things of God. But what's he doing now? He's encouraging them to live more for God. He's encouraging them to live for the glory of God in their life. It wasn't just all doctrine, but also he wanted their daily life to live for the glory of God. I've got friends, and they're good friends, and they could tell you about this different views of the second coming. They could tell you about different views in the doctrine, whether they're Calvinist or Arminian, and they can tell you all these things, but their lifestyle is completely a shambles, the way that they practically live for the glory of God and some of the things they get up to. And here is Paul, and he's encouraging these people to make sure that their standards are biblical standards. And in chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "You know how we lived amongst you." And here is Paul reminding them. He says to them, "You know how we lived amongst you for your sake." He says, "In fact, you just followed us." Imagine Paul could say, "You just followed us because we were following Christ." Paul's lifestyle was so devoted to living for Jesus. He says to them, "Just follow us because we're following Christ." And wouldn't that be great if our life was so godly, so Christ-like, that people could see the beauty and the glory of God in our life. That we could see the wonder, that they could see the wonder that God has changed us and God has transformed us and God has made us to be more like His Son. I believe that can happen. I really do. That your life could be so lived for the glory of God that people can look and see the change that Jesus has made. And that's what we need today. We need men and women to live for God's glory, that their standards are biblical. You've heard the Robert Murray McShane. He was a man who was mightily used of God. And Robert Murray McShane says, "Make me as holy as a saved sinner can be. Make me as holy as a saved sinner can be." Brothers and sisters in Christ, don't be saved and stuck. The devil wants you to be saved and stuck. The devil wants you to be a Christian, but just be carnal. A Christian, but just be worldly. A Christian, but just of whatever standards please you. We want to be people who are biblical standards, godly standards, Christ-like standards, that people can see the beauty of Jesus in our life. And here is Paul, and he tried to encourage them that. And Paul was talking about his personal lifestyle. But then he talked about the public lifestyle as well. In chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "A model to all the believers." That the Thessalonian church, they were a model to everybody because people were talking about them because they were so living for the glory of God. And in chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "Your message rang out from you." People were talking about them. Their lifestyle was so different. Their behavior was so different. That their walk with God was so strong that people were looking and talking about them. Even the unchurched were talking about them. And in verse 9 it says, and I believe this is what happened. In verse 9 it says in chapter 1, "You turned to God from idols." You turned from God from idols. You see, these people, they were genuinely converted. And their lifestyle, as we would say today, the cross before me and the world behind me. They were living for the glory of God. They wanted to live for God's glory. And their standards were biblical. Their standards were from the Bible. And brothers and sisters in Christ today, we live in a world today where the world has come into the church. And the standards of the world have come into the church. And we've accepted it. Jim reminded us of the promises of God. And the Word of God tells us if we live for the glory of God, the Lord will look after us. The Lord will take care of us. The Lord will help us. And even in difficult days, we need to take a stand. And it's a godly stand. Living for God's glory. Don't just crumble with the ways of the world. Don't just get caught up with their ideas and their thoughts. We live according to the glory of God. And that's what speaks into people's lives. When you've got a desire in your soul to live for His glory. When you've got hunger in your heart to live for His glory. And that's what Paul was encouraging them to do. To make sure that their standards were biblical standards. The people round about them, they were immoral, they were corrupt, they were wicked. But these people were living for God's glory. And God has no favourites. God wants to do the same through you and through me. God wants to speak through your life and through my life. When we deal with people, we talk to people, when they see that the things that we say, the things that we don't say, the jokes that we take part in and the jokes that we don't take part in, the places that we go and the places that we don't go, the things that we don't get caught up, the conversations that we don't want to take part of. We want to be people who are different. I had a friend who came along to a meeting, and there's a man who's a good age in the church, and this young chap came along, and I take my hat off to the young chap. I'm trying to just give you a patch of the story. I don't want anybody to work out where it was. And it wasn't here. Okay, you can breathe, relax. It wasn't here. And this older chap in the church started mouthing off about someone. And this young Christian says, "Excuse me, I don't need to hear this. I don't need to hear that. I don't want part of this conversation." I thought it was wonderful, because that older chap shouldn't have opened up that conversation. And the younger guy says, "Sorry, I don't want involved in that conversation." Wouldn't that be great, as Christians, that we would be more sensitive to the Holy Spirit? Sensitive to the Holy Spirit. That in our daily speech and conduct, we make sure we're God pleasers. We're God pleasers, not world pleasers. That our standards are biblical and godly and glorifying to Him. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, it reminds us, and it says, "And the voice from heaven said, 'This is my Son whom I love, with Him I am well pleased.'" And God was saying, "This is my Son whom I love, with Him I am well pleased." And wouldn't it be great today if that's what was the same with us? That God is saying, "I'm pleased. I'm pleased by the way that we're living, by the way that we're behaving." And I believe today God is looking for people who are hungry for Him and hungry to live for His glory, that even in these ungodly days, that their standards are biblical standards. They're not worldly standards, but they're biblical. And in verse 3 it says, "It is God's will that you should be sanctified." It is God's will that you should be sanctified. Now, I remember the principle of the faith mission reminding us what justification means and what sanctification means. Now, I need to get a grip of that very practically. I'm not a deep thinker. So justification means just as if you have never sinned. And sanctification is ongoing. Justification, Dr. Peckham says, this is justification. It happens once. When you become a Christian, when you give your life to Christ, you're a child of God, you're a son, you're a daughter of God, you've given your life to Christ. It happens once. You're born again, you're converted, just as if you've never sinned. You're saved, you're redeemed, you're in the family of God. Sanctification is the ongoing work of God. That keeps on going. Justification happens once. Sanctification is ongoing. In other words, isn't it true? When we read the Bible, God comes and speaks into our heart and reveals things in our life that are not right. Maybe our thought pattern, our behaviour, or maybe our tongue, what way our tongue's behaving, or what way our attitude is. That sanctification, God coming through the power of the Holy Spirit and convicting you of sin, convicting you of ungodliness, your behaviour revealing to you things in your life that you know this is not pleasing to God. That sanctification, God is speaking into your heart. God is speaking into your life. God is revealing to you. And you know something? That's beautiful when that happens. I love when that happens to me. Do you know why? Because the Bible tells us that God chastises those whom He loves. God deals with those whom He loves. And when God comes and speaks into your life through the power of the Holy Spirit, thank Him. Because He's reminded you that He loves you. And as we deal with that, as we deal with whatever God is saying into our heart and into our life, we deal with it, and then there's always something around the corner. There's always something around the corner. And brothers and sisters in Christ, don't get stuck. There's that many Christians and they're stuck. They don't deal with what the Holy Spirit is saying into their life, and they're spiritually stuck, and they're just like children. They behave like children. Their attitude, their conduct, their behaviour is like a child. And even though they've been a Christian for many years, we want to grow. We want to mature. And that's what Paul was telling them. We want you to do more and more and more. Go deeper with God. Go deeper with Him. Make sure that you're living a life that wants to go further and deeper with God. Don't stay at the shallow end. Jump in so deep that you need to trust and look to Him. And verse 1, now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. And wouldn't it be great this morning? Wouldn't it be wonderful if the Holy Spirit is saying something into your life this morning? And maybe there's things, and maybe there's attitude, maybe there's a conduct, maybe there's a behavior, and you know it's blocking blessing. And you to come this morning and say, I don't want to be there anymore. I want to go deeper with God. I want to go deeper with God. And wouldn't it be great this morning if you to come and say, God, I want to repent, because that's what we need to do. Turn away from whatever is blocking blessing in our life and say, God, I want to live. I want to live for your glory. I want to tell you about a situation, a friend of mine. You have to be so careful nowadays. You know that what you're saying? When things weren't recorded, you could say whatever you wanted. But now with your illustrations, you have to be careful. There was this person was in this area, and there was a group of men here, right? And this person who I'm talking about wasn't a Christian. A group of men here, and they were chatting. Say there was 10 guys here chatting, right? And they were swearing in their conversation. They were swearing, right? And then one of the men from the 10 group goes to another group over here who were Christians, right? And a guy left this group here and goes to this group here. And my friend was listening to this group, then he was listening to this group. And the guy who was a Christian, this group who took part in the language, moved to the Christian group. And then he was praising God and saying hallelujah. And he says, what do you mean a Christian, Gordon? He's talking to these boys and he's saying all these words. And now when these boys is praising God and saying hallelujah. I says, well, just where he is spiritually, obviously needs to deal with his behaviour and his tongue. And why am I telling you that? That's a true story. And I'm not going to tell you where it happened. That's a true story. And what I'm saying is, people listen to you. People listen to you. And they look to you. And they watch your life. And as it was said many years ago, you're somebody's Bible. If you profess to be a Christian, you're their Bible. They look at your life and they read your life. They look at your life and they look at the way you behave, the way you speak, the way you treat people. You're their Bible. You're their sermon. And that's what I'm saying, as Paul encouraged them for more hunger for God. And that should be our desire this whole morning. That we want to be closer to God. Praise God, if we're here and we're a Christian, we're justified, we've given our life to God, but hallelujah, God is working in our life. And just to say, just like the lady I was telling you about from up at Kiltarity, well, she stays in Inverness now, maybe you're here, her husband's a Christian, her brother-in-law and sister-in-law are lovely Christians, great folk, absolutely brilliant people. But she was churchy. But she wasn't converted. Lovely lady, brilliant lady. Maybe you're here today. And you're a nice person. You're a really nice person. But do you know Jesus? Have you given your life to Jesus? Are you converted? Have you came to the place where you've said, God, I want you to come into my life. I want you to come in. I want you in my life. I want you to come into my life. That's when you become a Christian. You don't become a Christian because you walk into church. As somebody once says, if you walked into a horse box, do you become a horse? Of course you don't. You only become a Christian when you come and say, God, I want to come to you and ask you to come into my life. And that's when you become a Christian. And it's so simple. And it's so easy. And wouldn't it be wonderful if you're here this morning? And maybe you're here and you're not a Christian. And wouldn't it be great if you to come and give your life to God? Or maybe you're here and you know in your life there's a blockage. The sanctification is stuck. You're not growing. You're not maturing. You're not going deeper with God. Today's a great day because there's mercy with God, and today you can begin afresh with Him. In verses 6 and verse 8 it says, the Lord will punish men for all such sins, as we have already told you and warned you. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God, who gives you his Holy Spirit. And here is Paul coming. Praise God, they were living for God's glory, but he wanted them to go deeper. But he also came with a warning. He was warning them as well. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, whoever rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God. And Paul is reminding them that they have to live a holy life. And what is a holy life? A holy life is simply doing what is right. Doing what is right. Living a life that pleases God. We have not to be people who say we're a Christian and quite content to live in a worldly standard. You know, the Word of God tells us there's pleasure in sin, but only lasts for a season. And Paul is reminding them they have not to live an impure lifestyle. We have not to live a lifestyle that is ungodly. We have to avoid ungodly things. And you know, it's so sad today, the amount of people get caught up with stuff on the internet. It's sad today how many Christians get caught up, men who get caught up with things on the internet that they shouldn't be looking at. I know a person was telling me and asked me about a situation about someone who was in leadership for years in leadership, but on the internet looking at stuff that they shouldn't be looking at. Their hands were not clean and their heart was not pure. And as Christians, we have to be careful, because the way the world is nowadays, it's just muck isn't muck anymore. We were just telling somebody the other day, I won't tell you the name of this restaurant, you've maybe been in it. Our kids were only wee and they were playing background music, but videos up in the back. It was pornographic. And I'm not being a Pharisee or anything, but the video that went along with the music, it was absolutely muck. And Jan says, excuse me, I hope you don't mind. Any chance of switching off the video? And we're still friendly with the folk that are in that restaurant. I see them more than Janice. but that what was shown was muck. But it was so acceptable. And as Christians, we have to be careful. Because what a man thinks, he becomes. What a person thinks, he becomes. And that's why it's important that we read the scriptures. We need to become biblical thinkers. We need to think the way the Bible wants us to think. We need to behave the way the Bible wants us to behave. And Paul is warning them here to avoid things like that. And isn't it true in your life and in my life? We're the same. We have to be the same. And it's simple. Do you want to live for God or do you want to live for yourself? Do you want to live according to the word of God, or do you want to live according to the world? It's easy. It's simple. But God is looking for people. God is looking for people and saying, I want to live for God. I want my life to count. I want my life to count. I want to live for the glory of God. I just don't want it to be mundane, but I want God to be first in my life. I want God to be first. And I think I shared this at one of the prayer unions. When we move around, it's been amazing the amount of Christians we've had the privilege, and I say the privilege, but it's sad, to pray with, who their lives have been so disjointed spiritually. They've wandered away from God, still in church, but they've wandered away from God. They know that their mindset, their behaviour and their attitude isn't Christ-like. And praise the Lord, they've wanted to get themselves right with God. Now, as we come to a close, how is it with you? How is it with me? Are you here and you're a Christian that you know you've lost ground spiritually? That you're not where you should be? Don't be content. Don't be content to live that way. Come and get yourself right with God. Because God wants to do amazing and mighty and wonderful things through your life. Or maybe you're here and you've never given your life to Christ. Maybe you're here and you're not a Christian. We're going for a cup of tea. I would love to talk to you. There's elders here who'd love to talk to you. Because today can be a great day. Well, you can come and surrender your life to God. As we finish, I brought something with me this morning. It's an offering bag. That's what we use at some of our meetings. And it's an offering bag. And if I had to tell you, we're doing this and we need help. We need help to do A, B, and C. Would you like to help us? And I get Jim to take the offering bag and run round everybody. I'm sure there'd be a half-decent offering in there. I'm sure there'd be a good offering. But what I'm saying to you this morning is, I'm saying to you, what about you jumping in the offering bag? What about you offering yourself to God this morning? Not what you've got, but you coming and saying, God, here is my life. I want to give my life as an offering. I want my life to be an offering to you, a living offering to you. Here is my life. Take it. I want to jump into the offering bag. I want to be a living offering to you this morning. And I'm saying, Lord, take me. Every area of my life, I want to live for your glory in my life. And you do whatever you want to do with my life. You take me to wherever you want me to take me to. And you allow me to speak to whoever you want me to speak to. And I believe that can happen this morning. I believe that that's what God is looking for people who are saying, here I am. Here I am. God is not looking for part-timers. God is just not looking for people who are just willing to give a couple of afternoons or a couple of nights to God. God is not just looking for people to give them the leftovers of a day. God is saying, are you available? Are you available? Come and offer your life to God this morning and see what great and wonderful and mighty things he's going to do through you. Amen. Our Father, as we come before you in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you give us the ability to live for your glory. And Father, we do pray for each one of us this morning. Give us a heart that wants to seek first the kingdom of God. Give us a desire and a longing to live in a way that glorifies you, that people can see the beauty of Jesus through our lives. And Father, we do pray, if there be anyone amongst us who hasn't given their life to Christ this morning yet, We pray, Father, in Jesus' name, may today be the day where they begin their walk with God. We do ask, continue to speak through the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.